In this lesson, we're building a tape dust air horn hit in Ableton Live 12 that feels like it came off a grimy jungle cassette, not a glossy modern FX pack. The goal is a hit with attitude, crunch, and presence, something that punches through a DNB drop without stomping all over the kick, snare, and bass. Think of this less like sound design for a flashy effect, and more like shaping a mix tool. In old school jungle and drum and bass, a horn hit can do three jobs at once. It can mark a phrase change, it can bring serious character, and it can add rough texture to the track's identity. When it's built right, it feels like part of the record, not just something sitting on top of it. Start with a short horn source. That could be an air horn sample, a brass stab, a rave horn, or any sharp honk-type sound with a strong attack. If the sample is clean, that's totally fine. In fact, a clean source often gives you more control, because you can add the grime yourself instead of fighting someone else's processing. Drop the sample into Sampler or onto an audio track if it's already a one-shot. For this kind of hit, one-shot mode is usually the easiest choice. Trim the start tightly so the transient hits right away. You want the first few milliseconds to be immediate, because in jungle and old-school DNB, that initial punch is doing a lot of the work. Set a fast attack, keep the decay fairly short, and use a short release so the horn feels like a punctuation mark, not a sustained lead sound. If the sample is drifting in timing, you can warp it to lock it to the grid, but if it already has a loose, good-feeling wobble, leave it alone. A little instability can actually help sell the tape horn vibe. The whole point here is not perfection, it's controlled imperfection. Before you go heavy on distortion, add some sampler-style degradation. This is where the crunchy texture starts to show up. Insert Redux after Sampler and bring the down sample and bit reduction down until you hear the sound getting grainy and a little broken, but not completely collapsed. Then follow that with Saturator. Add some drive, turn on soft clip, and push it until the horn gets denser and more rude. You're aiming for harmonic dirt, not just volume. At this stage, watch your level. It's very easy to get excited and overcook it. The best crunchy horn sounds usually have a controlled, focused damage, especially in the mids. That's what gives you the old sampler feel, like the sound was bounced through a cheap box or captured from a loudspeaker in a rave room. Next, shape the tone with filtering. Auto filter is perfect for this. If the horn has too much low junk, high pass it so it doesn't fight the sub or kick. If it needs that hollow old school character, try a band pass and focus the sound into the mid-range. The exact setting depends on your source, but the big idea is simple. Remove everything that doesn't help the hit cut through the mix. Then bring in EQ8 for proper mix carving. This is where the sound stops beating just an effect and starts behaving like a real element in the arrangement. High pass around the low end if needed, cut any boxiness in the low mids, and tame harshness in the upper mids if the horn starts getting too sharp. If it needs more bite, a gentle boost in the presence range can help. But don't chase brightness just for the sake of it. For jungle and old-school DNB, mid-range attitude is usually more useful than shiny top-end. After that, think about transient shape. If the horn feels too soft, drum bus can add a little extra smack and edge. Keep the drive modest, and be careful with boom because this sound usually doesn't need extra low-end weight. If you want the hit to feel a little more glued together, a gentle glue compressor can help. You're only looking for a touch of gain reduction here, just enough to flatten the transient slightly, so the sound feels weighty instead of spiky. Now we get to the fun part. Tape dust character. Resample the processed horn to a new audio track. This is a huge move, because once you print the sound, all that dirt and tone shaping gets baked in. That makes the result easier to chop, edit, reverse, and repurpose later. Resampling also gives the sound a more finished feel, which is especially useful in dense DNB arrangements where you want every impact to feel intentional. After resampling, you can add small amounts of movement. Autopan can create a tiny wobble if you keep it subtle. Chorus Ensemble can add a hint of width, but be careful not to turn the core hit into a blurry stereo mess. The best tape-style texture usually stays centered in the main body, with just a little width around the edges. You want the horn to feel solid in mono and still have some life in stereo. This is a good moment to check mono compatibility. DNB mixes can get messy fast when too many wide elements are fighting in the upper mids. Use utility if you need to narrow the sound and keep the important part of the hit mostly mono. If you want extra width, create it with a very controlled delay on a return track instead of widening the whole source. A short echo with filtered highs can give you a nice ghostly tail without wrecking the punch. Once the sound is built, place it in the arrangement with phrase logic. Don't just fire it randomly. Use it to announce a change. It works great at the last half bar before a drop, after a snare fill, at the end of a 16-bar section, or as a call-and-response accent against the bass line. In jungle and old-school DNB, these kinds of sounds are often functioning like DJ tools. They're signaling something. They're warning the listener that the energy is about to shift. Automation can make the hit feel even more alive. Open the filter slightly before the impact. Push the drive a little higher just before the hit lands. Let a tiny amount of delay or reverb build, then cut it back right at the drop. Even a small gain lift can help the horn land harder. The trick is to automate tension, not just loudness. You want the effect to feel like part of the drum arrangement, not a separate layer pasted on top. A few mistakes to avoid here. Don't make the sound too bright and modern. Don't leave too much low end in the sample. Don't distort before you've controlled the tone. And don't let the tail ring forever, because in fast DNB tempos that just turns into mush. Also, always check the sound with the drums and bass playing, not just in solo. A horn can sound huge by itself and still disappear or fight the groove in context. If you want to go further, try making three versions of the same hit. Make a clean and tight version for arranging. Make a crunchy tape version with redux and saturator for drop energy. Then make a dark rave version with narrower filtering and a tiny bit of echo for switch-ups. Put those into a simple 16-bar structure and compare how they function. That's a really practical way to build a small library of useful impact sounds. The big takeaway is this: shape the horn like a mix element, not just an effect. Start with a strong source, tighten the envelope, add controlled dirt, carve the tone, manage the width, and commit it to audio when it feels right. If you do that, you'll end up with a rude, tape-worn, crunchy air horn hit that fits beautifully into jungle, old-school DNB, rollers, and darker bass music. And honestly, once you get this workflow down, you can start making all kinds of variations off the same idea. Clean, dirty, ghosted, wider, darker, more broken, more rave. That's the fun part. You're not just making one sound, you're building a little impact system that can carry your arrangement forward.